As most of you know, the various techniques and methods of Vipassana practice all have their foundation in one discourse of the Buddha, the Satipatthana discourse, which is often translated as the four foundations of mindfulness, or the four ways of establishing mindfulness. And each one of these four ways or four foundations has many subsets within it. So when you read the sutta, when you read the discourse, there are many different approaches to developing mindfulness. And it's because of this that there are many Vipassana traditions and methods and techniques. And you've probably heard teachings from different teachers emphasizing one or another of these ways. None of them are in conflict with each other. They're all just different approaches for developing mindfulness, for developing awareness. What I'd like to do this morning is to go over some of the instructions that are found in the sutta, in the discourse. Very specific instructions, particularly starting with the body and the breath, because this is the first of the foundations, the first of the ways, the Buddha said, to develop mindfulness and awareness. Now, you've all been practicing often for many years now, and you've probably developed your own particular way of practice, your own particular style of practice. What I'll be offering is simply some suggestions to explore and experiment and to see if they're helpful for you. It would be worth making the experiment, you know, to try some of the particular techniques I'll suggest. And then you can see if it's helpful to incorporate it into the practice you've already been doing, or not. And if not, you can just continue with your regular practice. What was surprising to me, having spent many, many years doing Vipassana, you know, according to the instructions of different of my teachers, and then at one point, again, rereading the sutta, the discourse, and coming across very specific instructions, which I had not been following particularly. I had just, you know, been doing what my teachers had said. And I thought, well, if this is what the Buddha said, as far as we know, why not try it? And so I just tried as an experiment to follow the instructions just as it's laid out. And not surprisingly, it was helpful. So this is what I'm going to be offering this morning. Just a few lines from the actual text of how the Buddha suggested we proceed. So have an investigative interest, you know, and see for yourself whether it's helpful. In the Satipatthana Sutta, there is a refrain, which is a few lines of teaching, which are repeated 13 different times in the discourse. This refrain, these few lines, are repeated after each set of instructions. And we'll be talking more about what's in this refrain. But there's one line in the refrain which is repeated after the instructions on mindfulness of the body, which just in my last self-retreat, somehow my mind focused on this one line and it became amazingly helpful. So I'd like to start with that. again, the refrain is repeated after each set of instructions. In this case, it was repeated after the instructions about mindfulness of the body. And the line in the refrain says, be mindful, and then in quotes, be mindful, there is a body, there is a body, to the extent necessary for clear knowing and continuous mindfulness. Okay, be mindful that there is a body to the extent necessary for clear knowing and continuous mindfulness. So we can begin our practice with this very simple basic instruction, there is a body. And I found it very helpful to sit in a relaxed way, to settle into the body, into the awareness of the body posture, and to occasionally repeat, there is a body, as a way of letting the attention, letting the awareness
create the
framework of holding the body in general. There is a body. We hold it as a kind of structure or framework for our awareness. To the extent necessary for clear knowing, how much effort does it take to be aware there is a body? Doesn't take much effort. We just sit. There is a body. We're feeling it. Just to that extent, knowing there is a body, the extent for clear knowing and continuous mindfulness, which means we don't forget. When the mind wanders off, we come back, there is a body. You see how simple this is. Within this framework, there is a body, we will become aware of different things. But we're not necessarily zeroing in on the different objects. We're holding the framework of the whole body. There is a body, and within that, we may feel different sensations, we may feel the breath. But we're not focusing down on the breath. We're not focusing down on the sensations. We're holding the bigger framework. There is a body, and in that openness, we become aware of whatever else may be arising. Maybe sounds. Maybe sensations.
Maybe
the breath. So this is the first instruction. So sit with it. Occasionally repeat that phrase in the mind as a reminder, there is a body.
Staying in that openness.
The framework, there is a body, becomes the structure that holds the awareness of everything that arises within it. Awareness, there is a body, just to the extent necessary for clear knowing. There's no efforting. There's no struggle. Grounded in the awareness, there is a body. You may become aware of the natural process of the breath. The body knows how to breathe, so there's no special effort required. And the first instruction the Buddha gives on being with the breath is extremely simple.
He says,
breathing in, know you're breathing in. Breathing out, know you're breathing out. So here we're not particularly focusing on the breath, not narrowing the attention on the breath, rather keeping the wider framework there is a body, and simply knowing the breath as it appears within that framework. Do you feel yourself trying to be with the breath? If you feel yourself struggling, if you feel yourself tightening in any way, simply go back to there is a body. Letting the breath find its own natural rhythm. The body breathes in, know you're breathing in. As the body breathes out, know you're breathing out. In and again, come back to there is a body, to the simplicity of that knowing, of that clear knowing. So there's no efforting, no struggle. There is a body. And within that framework, we become aware of the natural breath. And the Buddha gives another instruction about the breathing, one which is very helpful. He says, breathing in short, one knows we're breathing in short. Breathing out short, one knows breathing out short. Breathing in long, one knows breathing in long. Breathing out long, one knows breathing out long. And this instruction is important because it's reminding us that this is not a breathing exercise. It doesn't matter whether the breath is short, whether it's long, whether it's rough, whether it's smooth. We simply are receiving, are receptive to each breath just as it is. The more we acknowledge with each in-breath, each out-breath, oh, short, long, long, short. We don't need to repeat the word particularly, but just to know. It's a long breath, it's a short breath. It helps us relax and be open to each breath exactly as it presents itself. No need to make anything any different. So settling back, there is a body. Very simple. Within that awareness, we know when we're breathing in, we know when we're breathing out.
Short breath,
we know when it's a long breath. No struggle, no interference, no judgment. Notice that when the mind is grounded in the awareness there is a body, that simple knowing, the breath happens all by itself. The third instruction the Buddha gives with the breath, first it's simply knowing you're breathing in or breathing out, recognizing whether it's long or short. The third is breathing in, feel the whole body. Breathing out, feel the whole body. Be mindful there is a body, just to the extent necessary for clear knowing and continuous mindfulness.
Open framework.
Within the open framework, there is a body. Simply know when you're breathing in, when you're breathing out. Recognize whether it's a long breath or a short breath. Breathing in, feel the whole body. Breathing out, feel the whole body. And the last instruction the Buddha gives, breathing in, calm the bodily formations. Breathing out, calm the bodily formations. This is a certain intentionality. It can be helpful to remind oneself, calming the breath. Calm the breath. Occasionally even to repeat the words, calming, calm. Breathing in, calming. Breathing out, calm. When the mind wanders, simply coming back, there is a body. These are the basic instructions that the Buddha gave in the Satipatthana discourse. And it might be interesting just to experiment in one way or another with bringing them into your practice. For myself, I found the phrase, there is a body, particularly helpful not only in the sitting but also in walking and moving around. And I imagined it
as the
skeleton or the structure of a house before the walls are put up. You know, so you see the outline of the house, but you can actually see through it and see what's inside. So there is a body, just creates enough of a grounding, enough of an open framework to be present effortlessly, just to the extent necessary for clear knowing. It's not much, just there is a body. And then in that openness, everything that's arising that's in the house is revealed. There is a body, and then the breath starts to happen, and maybe sounds are appearing, different things happening in our experience, but we're grounded in that structure. Does this make sense? I would just play with it. I found it helpful because I noticed the tendency in my own mind in hearing instructions about being with the breath in various ways, where the mind, either in a very obvious or a more subtle way, would create some tension to, I need to be with the breath, I need to focus down on the breath, I need to, whereas, and that creates a problem, then there's just more struggle. But when we have this open framework, there is a body, the breath is happening anyway. It's not that we have to do anything to breathe. And we're creating a more spacious and more relaxed basis or framework for being aware of the breath as it happens. So when we have that quality of openness, of relaxation, of ease, just there is a body, I'm aware of the breath coming in and out, very simple. And then each of the successive instructions the Buddha gave just brings the mind into a further degree of attentiveness with this natural process of the breath. Right? There's this open framework, there's a body. We just know we're breathing in, breathing out. Oh, some breaths are long, some breaths are short. We begin to notice that. Not changing anything. However the breath is fine. But we're noticing a little bit more. And so we're refining the quality of our awareness. But again, it stays very simple. And then we expand even more, feeling the breath, feeling it in the whole body. And that last instruction I've also found helpful at times. And there's a little intentionality here about calming. Calm is one of the factors of enlightenment. But it falls in between rapture and concentration. And rapture and concentration are sexier. You know, yeah, we like it when there's rapture, there's PT happening. Then concentration, that's really good. You know, we want to get concentrated. And I think as the teachings have been conveyed, calm seems to get not much emphasis placed on it. So I found it interesting that in these instructions on the breath, the Buddha actually emphasized calm. He said, breathing in, calm the formations. Breathing out, calm the formations. Because calm becomes the basis not only for an ease of being, it becomes the basis for concentration. So there's a lot. In just these few simple instructions, there's really a lot to explore. It's not that you have to do each one of them each time, or even in any particular order. It's just, I wanted to put out the possibilities and see where your interest takes you, you know, as you explore it. Do you have any questions about the instructions or your experience this morning?
What is rapture?
Rapture is, it's the translation of the Pali word piti, and it's a factor of enlightenment, and it's that quality of intense interest. So the example, maybe you can relate to the example in the texts. Suppose you're walking in the desert and hot and thirsty, and you've been walking for hours and hours and hours, and then in the distance you see an oasis. Mm-hmm. The quality of the mind when you see that oasis, that's rapture. And it manifests in many different ways. It can manifest in a wide range of energetic phenomena, but it's really that quality of intense interest. Okay. As I say, just play with these instructions and see which aspects are helpful. And do a little exploration. One of the things I do a long self-retreat usually every year. And one of the things that I enjoy so much about it is that I spend some time just reading some of the suttas, reading some of the discourses. And at other times when I read them, you know, I'm reading and it's almost like just taking in information. But when I read them on retreat or hear them on retreat, the retreat is actually a laboratory for experimenting, for actually putting them into practice and seeing what the words mean. And in this situation, the teachings of the Buddha become very alive. You know, it's not just something we're learning in our heads. He said this. Let me see what this is like. What happens when I do this? And so it's not a question of belief, or it's just exploration and bringing the teachings to life. And that's the great beauty of a retreat. You're in a 9-day experiment. So just a couple of announcements. During this retreat, we're going to be doing all individual interviews. So you'll each have 3 interviews during the retreat, one with each of us, and there'll be a schedule put up. And these will start tomorrow. Talk more about it. The retreats, because there are so many people, the interviews will be not an hour long. But what I found, you know, teaching a 3-month retreat every year, which everybody gets individual interviews, even 10 minutes, you know, if you're clear about what you want to say and really limit it to your practice, what's happening now, your understanding, what your experience is, what your difficulties are, what insightful experiences you're having. You know, so if you come to the interview quite focused and prepared with what you want to say, 10 minutes is plenty of time. You know, a lot can happen. So just hold it in that way. It's not so much about your life story. because it's just not time. You know, it's really about what's happening here in your practice. And maybe there are elements of your life story that are coming up. That's fine. Thank you.